So we need to be very clear in this area of money. Elisha was so clear and faithful in the area of money, and that is why God used him. He had far more of a new covenant spirit than multitudes of preachers today. Almost 99% of preachers don't have this spirit. No wonder all talk of new covenant is just hollow. It's not. This guy had more of the new covenant spirit than many, many people today. Even you may not be a full-time Christian worker. What is your attitude to money? Look at Elisha's attitude. There we see a new covenant man living in Old Covenant times. And see the contrast there in Gehazi, Gehazi was Elisha's servant, pouring water on his hands, just like Elisha poured water on Elijah's hands. And if Elisha took over from Elijah as the prophet, who was going to be the next prophet? Gehazi. But instead of getting the anointing, he got leprosy. And you know why? Only one reason. That guy was crazy after money. A warning to all preachers and believers today. We are crazy after money. What you'll get is spiritual leprosy. And you see that? How Gehazi, when he saw Elijah just letting him go, and he says, "What a fool my master Elisha is," in verse 20. This man just came and gave it freely, and he still, Elisha would not take it. Okay, if Elisha doesn't take it, I'll go and take it myself. And so he ran. It says in verse 20, "I'll run." What's he running after? Money, like many people today. And he pursued Naaman, and Naaman saw him running and said, "Hey, what's the matter? Is everything okay?" And then he has to tell a lie. You know, when you're after something, when you're after money, it's very easy to tell a lie. Small lie or a big lie. This was a big one. He says, "Two people have come to join the Bible school here to be sons of the prophets. And can you please give me some clothes for them? You know, we want to support these students in the Bible school," just like people beg today with their begging letters. They call it prayer letters. It's not prayer letters at all. It's all begging letters. Many of you may have got it from people in India and Africa and all. They send these so-called prayer letters, all begging letters, asking for money or hinting for money. It's exactly what we see here. We're running a Bible school. Students have come. They need clothes. They need some money. Will you please support us? Followers of Gehazi. You think Elisha would do something like that? No. And the lies they say. So many people have come, and so many people getting converted. A lot of rubbish. And then Naaman said, oh, you want money? Sure, I'll give you. You want a talent of silver? I'll give you 2 talents. You asked only for 1. 2 changes of clothes? I'll give you any number of changes of clothes. Bags with 2 changes of clothes, and say, "Here, my servants will take it." And when they came to the top of the hill, nearing Elisha's house, Gehazi said, "Okay, thank you very much. You can go away." And he quietly took all that and went and hid it in his house. And then he came and stood before Elisha as if he was very innocent and had just been having a time of prayer or something. And Elisha said, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" And he tells another lie. You know, whenever you start telling lies, you never stop with one. And he said, "Well, I didn't go anywhere." You think you can fool Elisha? Elisha saw through Naaman. He saw through Gehazi. I want you to see something here, dear brothers. This man had more discernment than 99% of people who talk about the new covenant today. I've seen so many people, even elders, talk about the new covenant. They are fooled by people who are not really wholehearted disciples of Jesus. They compromise the standards of God's word because they won't walk with God like Elisha. And Elisha could see through Naaman, he could see through Gehazi. He said, "Elisha, Gehazi, I know what you did. My heart went with you. You went to follow this chariot to collect money. Is this a time to receive money?" That's what I say to all the people who go around begging for money today in prayer letters and begging letters. Is this a time to receive money? Did Jesus ever send such prayer letters to get money from people like Naaman, today's Naamans, or those days Naamans? Did the disciples ever send begging letters like that? You see so many letters written by Paul. Does he ever mention, I'm in need, my work needs, my ministry needs? Never. You find Jesus ever asking for ministry? Different people gave, Jesus and to Paul. You read in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 4, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, and Philippians 4, that people gave sometimes to Paul, and he took it. But they never asked for it, and they would never take from unbelievers. And so he says, okay, you went after him, and is this a time to get money? I'd say the same thing to, is this a time to receive money from these unbelievers? Okay, Gehazi, you not only got Naaman's money, you got his leprosy as well. And I believe this is absolutely true today, that so many people who have run after the money of unbelievers have got their spiritual leprosy as well. You see, dear brothers and sisters, how these men in the Old Covenant, Old Testament man like Elisha, had 100 times more the spirit of the New Covenant than a lot of people today would talk about the New Covenant, particularly in the area of money. Can you find a servant of God like Elisha nowadays? Rare. There are a few, but rare, who have the discernment of Elisha. Even more rare. But that's what we need. So don't despise these Old Testament people. Oh, they were under the Old Covenant. We look at the Old Testament books and they were under the Old Covenant. We need to be shamed when we read about how these people lived. Yeah, I want to say one more thing. We read in, it's an amazing thing here, in 2 Kings and chapter 13. Verse 14, Elisha became sick with the illness with which he died. Do God's servants become sick? Or do they die without sickness? This wonderful prophet who had double the anointing of Elijah, who did double the miracles of Elijah, who raised people from the dead, he gets sick. Well, I'm sure he prayed, Lord, heal me. But no, his time had come, the Lord said. His time has come, you're not going to be healed, you're going to die. In the New Testament, you read that greatest of all apostles, Paul, he had a sickness. You read in 2 Corinthians 12, which he called a thorn in the flesh. It's amazing to see how some of God's greatest servants had sickness. And it troubled him so much. I believe it was an eye infection that Paul had, which was so repulsive. That's why he says in Galatians 4 to those people, you saw this in me, this sickness, and you did not despise me. You were willing to pull out your eyes and give them to me. That's why I feel that that was his thorn in the flesh. And he says, Lord, take it away from me. Take it away. This is a messenger of Satan, he calls it. And the Lord says, no. What's the reason? Paul, you've been mightily used. You've been taken up to the third heaven. You've written scripture. You've planted churches. You need something to keep you humble. And this is the only way I can keep you humble. Jesus never needed a thorn in the flesh. He was so radical and wholehearted that he could remain humble throughout the end, till the end, do miracles, do all types of things, walk on the water, raise the dead, feed the 5,000. Not one speck of humility anywhere, a speck of pride. Totally humble all the way till the end. But Paul needed it. And I want to say to you, my brother, sister, you and I need something that God has to do to keep us down in our face. Sometimes it's a failure in the world in somewhere, maybe a financial loss. I know God's, through the years, as I've tried to support myself, through the years I've experienced financial loss, and God says, that's to humble you. That's to free you from the love of money. And I say, praise you, Lord. I praise you with all my heart. Where other people praise God for their financial gains, I praise the Lord for financial losses many times. Thank you, Lord. But you provide me enough for my needs. That's all I want. The rest of the time, you're interested in my spirit, that I keep humble and broken and don't imagine that I'm somebody or I'm smart or any such thing, that I will never glory in anything but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby the whole world is crucified to me and I'm crucified to the world.